Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, you lovely lot, and welcome to this week's edition of Tuesday Night Jaw on the Distraction Pieces Network, the lovely podcast network that has lots and lots and lots for you to get involved in, including Scroobius Pip stealing my idea to do a Q&A last week or the week before and do it better than me because he's significantly more famous and more popular. So I can't wait for him to steal this concept as well. That's technically my boss that I'm bad-mouthing, but whatever. I'm the Stone Cold Steve Austin of the podcast world. So this week's episode is stupid and silly and is a concept I've been sitting on for a while, but I needed the right person to get involved in it, as he shows me a picture that words can't describe and giggles to himself. He's also wearing trainers in a house, which is upsetting me slightly. It is none other than Jim Smallman.
Hi. Hi there. How's it going?
I'm all right. How's retirement going?
Fucking brilliant, mate. I'm not going to lie. I did a Q&A on Instagram the other day, and I got asked 17 times, what's life like after progress? It's the same as it was before, just slightly less progress.
Yeah, from a show point of view, yeah.
But, I mean, I still talk to the three of you all the time, because you're my mates.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, and in a bit, me and you are going to go and play FIFA with three of our other mates.
We are. Look at us being sort of social. I was going to say sociable, and then I realised that we're literally going to go to someone's house to sit in the dark to play FIFA.
But at least there's more than one person.
Yeah.
That, to me, counts as sociable.
Yeah.
I'm not a sociable human, but it's why I like you, because I don't think we like humans very much.
No. We found a bond dislike for a lot of things.
We're essentially old... I'm not a northerner.
No.
But we're essentially old northern men.
Yeah.
Sitting in the corner of a pub.
Yeah.
Complaining about everyone new that comes into the pub.
Yeah. Like, it's weird. I don't know,
I think I just summed up wrestling fandom.
Yeah, like, that's true. Recently, like... because of the new job... I think I enjoy interacting with people more now because I do it less. So, like, I was at Chaos on the weekend and for like last time and stuff. And there's a couple of lads that I've spoken to in Cardiff that were at a Progress show and junior gig, and they were travelling up from Cornwall, and I actually remember speaking to them. Hi, Ads and Ryan. And it was really nice to have a chat with them and talk to them. And I really enjoyed that. And I think I'm enjoying those moments of being so social now because I've kind of got a grip on it. I don't have to constantly be talking to people and stuff. So I'm getting better.
The social side of it is the bit with Progress, because I spend all my time, especially at shows, like talking to fans. I genuinely like doing that.
Yeah, it's good.
And it was a big part of the company's identity for me to talk to the fans and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I remember saying to you, it's something you're going to have to do now, because it's. If you said to me like 10 years ago pre-Progress, oh, you're going to have to talk to complete strangers in what is essentially a nightclub setting, for probably like an hour or two after a show, before a show, whatever, I'd be like, oh no, I don't ever want to work in wrestling, whereas the reality was it was actually really nice. But I'm not a naturally a sociable person. I think it's very interesting, especially with my colleagues now in my job with WWE, is like, if so when we're away doing a TV taping or whatever, I finish the TV taping and I might go to the, obviously I don't drink, but I might go to the bar and have apple juice, which is my drink of choice.
You crazy mofo.
And then I'll go, good night everybody, and then go to bed,
because
I'm 41 years old and I've never been good at being sociable. I wasn't good at being sociable when I was 18 and I drank.
Yeah.
So, you know, now, God no. Oh. But, you know, sitting in a room with you talking nonsense, I can do that.
And that is what this episode is. As I said, I slid into your DMs and I was like, there you go. Just wanted to get that out. Thanks. So we don't have to waste half an hour on a show now, you doing that. Just like to point out, the last two Progress shows finished half an hour early. You're welcome.
Did they? Yeah, but one of them only had 6 matches on it, right?
Yeah, but that's the point. Yeah, six matches, all killer,
no
filler. No,
but you seem to be blaming me for the fact. I didn't always say we needed 7 matches. But it wasn't like I was overrunning with everything that I said. I mean, also, I have more content. But like... It wasn't like I was overrunning with everything I said. We had one more match, which would take up a half an hour segment.
Right, yeah, okay. Yeah. Likely story. Let us know on Twitter.
Do you want to start this,
dear? No, I don't, because I will lose, because you are a cult leader. Right, so this week's episode is on the concept list, and this is the concept. So this week, we are going to be picking a faction/stable/... wrestling group made up of 5 people, and they have to be prominent, obscure, whatever you want to call it, 90s footballers.
Yours are all going to be obscure.
No, mine are actually pretty mainstream. So I also gave you the caveat of you needed to pick the following: a star in the group, a tag team within the group, the enforcer of the group, the loose cannon, a la Brian Pillman in the group, and I also allowed you to have a manager, preferably who is an actual football manager, and also I'm assuming you've got a name for your group, because...
Do you know what? I've just thought I haven't got a name for it, but I bet one will come to me while I'm talking through this.
I've got a solid one, so that's fine, so that's covered. All right, so how do we want to do this? Do you want to do... I think we should probably go, you give your star, I give my star, and so on and so forth. Yeah, all right. Okay, cool. Right, go. Your star first.
My star is Lothar Matthäus.
Okay. Right. Not someone I would pick.
Lothar Matthäus.
Okay.
Right? Here's my reasons, right? So, by the 90s, like a Ric Flair or a Hulk Hogan or a Shawn Michaels, he's already at the point where he's a wily veteran. He's already been playing for Germany for 10 years by that point.
Yeah.
Right? He played for Germany for 18 years. He did that thing that... You know what everyone talks about? When Ric Flair had the plane crash.
Yes.
So Ric Flair went from being strongman, like superstar Billy Graham type wrestler, to being the wrestler that he became. And he had to amend his style as he grew older, because as you get older, you know, ravages of time, you have to change your style and stuff like that. Now, Lothar Matthäus did exactly the same thing. Rampaging midfielder in Italia 90. By the time he's playing for Bayern at the end of the 90s, he's doing what all lazy German footballers do and go, I'm a sweeper now.
Yeah.
I play where I want. I don't have to run anywhere. I just get the. I just insist that I have the ball, and then I pass the ball around, and I occasionally tackle.
Okay.
Right. So he managed to reinvent himself as well. So that's. I think that's an important thing.
Okay.
Also, if we're using the Ric Flair analogy, you know, Ric Flair could have a good match with a broom sweeper. Broom done.
Nice. Boss.
Links.
Good.
And then also, like many stars of the 1990s in terms of wrestling, he also had questionable choices once he hung up his boots. Because he's had seven managerial jobs. The longest one, I think, was with Hungary. None of them. Bear in mind, he's a legend in Germany.
Yeah.
No one in Germany has ever gone, hey, Lothar.
Yeah.
Hey, Lothar, do you fancy managing our club?
They've literally just brought Klinsmann back to manage Hertha, and that lasted, what, 72 days or 42 days, where he was.
So, and I have great memories of watching Lothar Matthäus during Italia 90. I was 12 during Italia 90. And I remember watching most of it in the working men's club where my gran used to take us, because it was during the summer and I used to spend a lot of time there. And I remember thinking Lothar Matthäus was an unbelievable player, because I don't think I'd ever seen anyone in England play like him. Yeah. All the players in this country that were... that stuck out to me and that I liked were players like Chris Waddle, who was my favourite player when I was growing up. And my dad would always talk about Frank Worthington and people like this who were, you know, incredibly skillful, tricky wingers. You're either a tricky winger or you were just an out-and-out finisher like Gary Lineker.
Yeah.
That felt like the only players, if you lived in the UK, that you paid any attention to.
Yeah.
And I support Wales, like you do. Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest, in 1990, we had no good players.
No. I mean, to be fair... arguably,
we had Mark Hughes.
Yeah, throughout the 90s, and pretty much throughout until we actually got to a major tournament, we'd always have one outstanding footballer and then 10 other average to below average players.
Kings.
Yeah, 10 Andy Kings. Andy Legg is the one that I remember.
Yeah.
He was a Welsh international.
I remember Andy Legg. Played for Birmingham, didn't he? Had a long throw.
He did. Mark Crossley was our first choice goalkeeper.
I haven't played Forest.
Is that ball? Yeah, but he was shy. He wasn't even Welsh. Or, I don't know, he might have been a Wrexham one. Or a Chester. He might have been one of them.
I don't think he was. I think he was a bit like that. You know that revolution of Irish footballers in the 1990s?
The
people who'd basically flown to America via Dublin.
What?
Holiday ones.
Well-known Scouse Irishman, John Aldridge, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I remember that. So, yeah, but a player like Matthäus, who would just, like, win the ball in midfield. Imagine, if you've never seen Lothar Matthäus in his prime, imagine a cross between... N'Golo Kante and Kevin De Bruyne. That's what he was.
Wow.
He basically, you know when you're at school and you play with a kid who's better than everyone else, who doesn't give anyone the ball?
Yeah, yeah.
He'd basically win the ball in defence, play a couple of 1-2s through midfield, and then score from 28 yards.
Yeah.
Like, an absolute star. And Germany's best player during that period by a long, 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 long way, when Germany were the best team in the world.
Yeah.
Hence, my star.
Interesting. I should point out at this point, we've just alienated 80% of my audience, and I'm willing to accept that this week for selfish reasons, just because this is going to be funny. Also, the other 20% that we haven't alienated, this is finally the opportunity where we get to talk about football as well, because every time I do a Q&A, it's either Football Manager or obscure football questions. Mm-hmm. So, interesting choice, because you'll see with my choice of star, I went with charisma and star appeal.
I mean, you do make bizarre choices. I mean, bearing in mind, we're going to have a 5-person FIFA league this afternoon where we did a draft, which was my idea.
Yeah.
Right? We drafted it. We weren't allowed to use Messi or Ronaldo because that's cheating. And then we went through, and all of us in turn picked a squad of 18 players.
Yeah.
And I think I've probably still got it here. Like, your first picks, you picked some... I was the fourth person to pick, and I managed to be able to pick Neymar, who's one of the best players.
Yeah, but I picked Erling Haaland and N'Golo Kante.
But you booked... You even though we warned you that Erling Haaland is not that good in the game...
I don't care.
Because the game was made at the beginning of the season where he still played for Salzburg.
I don't care.
But yeah, you picked like...
I picked Carlos Vela. My final pick was Carlos Vela.
Which is almost to annoy me, because I'm using LAFC, and he's designated player.
Yeah, I'm a hipster, what can I say?
Anyway, carry on with your
story. Right, okay, so this is my star.
It's going to be such
a... I've written a blurb, bio, or something of the same ilk that you might have read in Sports Illustrated or Pro Wrestling Illustrated back in the day. So weirdly, I don't know why, but all of my characters and gimmicks have fallen into like an NWA 80s scenario.
Even though it's a 90s
thing. Even though it's a 90s thing. Because just cross the streams. So my group is called The Formation.
Nice.
Okay. So is that weird? Like, is that
I'm going to call mine Libero Grande.
Oh, which is a great reference to one of the greatest games ever made. So,
which was the game where you play one player.
Yeah.
They used to have that. And if you're a Leicester City supporter, listen to this, you'll remember this. They used to have that in the Carling stand at Filbert Street.
Ooh.
So you could go in and you could play it. And they'd have like a PlayStation 1 set up on the wall and you could play Libero Grande. And the best thing is no one could get past the concept of the fact you only control one player.
Yeah.
And it freaked people out.
Yeah, it was mad. It was pro clubs before pro clubs. So yeah, The Formation, Football Link, also it is a predominantly European group.
Mm-hmm.
So it has European undertones. But my star is Le Playboy, David Girola.
Nice.
Okay. And this is what I've written for him. The embodiment of European flair and class.
Yeah.
Girola was always likely to anger and woo the fans of the NWA in equal measure.
I'm worried about you. Is everything all right?
I had an hour and a half on the train, and I went in hard on this, okay? He may well divide opinions amongst the audience, but there is no disputing his abilities when the bell rings. A former European heavyweight champion, Le Playboy now carries the 10 pounds of gold, or as he refers to it, Disrator from town to town, strengthening his claim as the best in the world. Yes, I just used the French for 10 pounds of gold. Fans have started to question Girola's love of the sport recently, though, as his sponsorship deals and brand ambassador work have started to bleed in to his on-screen time, even leading to a change of name of his finisher, formerly known as La Fin. The high-impact pile driver is now referred to by Gordon Solie as Head and Shoulders on a weekly basis.
Oh, God. Oh, good Lord. This is your crowning achievement, isn't it?
Mate, I have... Let's just say I was laughing to myself on a train from Manchester to Chester. But yeah, Girola, you know, handsome, charismatic, full of flair. He's a marketable man. He arguably cost France in the 90s. It was the 94 World Cup when he made that mistake against Bulgaria, where all he had to do was keep the ball in the corner, and then he got dispossessed and they countered, and Stoichkov scored.
That would be 94, because that 94 was Bulgaria's World Cup, wasn't it?
And it's
they
the reason
won it in 98.
Yeah, and it's the reason why Gerard Houllier and Ginola never got on, because Houllier blamed Ginola for...
Also, just jealous of his hair.
Yeah, because, again, that's the Head and Shoulders reference.
Ginola's first club in the UK was Newcastle, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and then he went to Spurs afterwards.
And the same team as Philippe Albert.
Philippe Albert, yep.
He looked like Bob Carroll G's.
He did.
And for a wrestling reference, Bob Carroll G's looked like Rollerball Rocco.
You
never see those three men in the same room at the same time.
You don't. You really don't.
I mean, one of them lives in Tenerife.
Yeah, that's true. Pavel Cernicek was also part of that.
He was a pyjama goalkeeper, wasn't he?
He was a pyjama goalkeeper.
Him, Dimitri Karim, and Gabor Kirali. Gabor Kirali was the one who just went, I'm not even wearing fucking training bottoms for this.
Yeah.
I'm just going to wear grey joggers that I bought from Primark. I do not give a shit.
Okay, well, there's our stars of the group.
Right, what's the next one?
We're going to go with tag teams next.
Okay, my tag team.
Okay.
My tag team is... Got it up. My tag team is... I would announce them as being from Santiago, Chile.
I know where this is going. It's just pop me.
And it's Ivan Zamorano and Marcelo Salas. Right? And there's a reason for this. When I used to play Football Manager back in the 90s, I'd sign both of them all the time. They'd be my front two. They took... sometimes it'd be a front two, sometimes it'd be Zamorano and someone else, and then Salas playing as attacking midfielder. Now, I remember when Salas was at his peak in about 1998, about right before he went to Lazio.
Yeah.
There was talk of him going to Manchester United for a world record transfer fee and him being the best player in the world.
Yeah.
Now, he wasn't the best player in the world. He was very good. Chile went qualified for the 98 World Cup. No one thought they'd get out of the group stages. They got out of the group stages. Plus, two handsome Chilean lads.
Oh.
And like all the best tag teams, one of them a fair bit older than the other.
Yeah.
Zamorano, I think, is maybe 8-9 years old.
Yeah.
So he's there, a bit of experience.
Yeah.
Can put his arm around him. Do you know what I mean? Look after him. And then you've got Salas, who's the wild one, who's a bit... a bit exciting.
You could say the Bobby Eaton to the Stan Lane.
Yes.
In that scenario, yeah.
Absolutely. If you nearly every wrestler from that era, by the way, has a story about Bobby Eaton and Stan Lane.
Yeah.
And I think all of them are that Bobby Eaton's the nicest man in the world and Stan Lane was a playboy. I think it's Mick Foley's book where he talks about walking past them and Bobby Eaton's giving like his last $20 to a homeless man and Stan Lane is carrying like four giant bottles of baby oil into the room.
Yeah.
So, you know.
So you've gone with the dynamic strike pair.
Yeah.
Was it Zamorano that had the 1+8 shirt at Inter?
The Santiago Strikers is what I'm going to call them.
Oh, that's all. Oh,
do you know what like alliteration?
Yeah, you might be too old for this, but there was a 90s cartoon called
I might be too old.
Yeah, but like it might have been before. Like, you know, you were probably in like uni or whatever.
Senile.
Yeah,
I can't remember.
You know, do you remember the 90s cartoon, The Hurricanes?
Yes. The Hurricanes, their champion spirit is here to stay.
Exactly, yeah. I can see
which is based on Captain Tsubasa, which is anime.
Yes. That Santiago Strikers thing reminds me of that. That sounds like a team that they would play.
Yeah.
And one of them would be really villainous.
I remember having it on my Commodore 64, having a beach volleyball game. I don't know why this pops into my head, but it's the video game sort of thing, like... football video games. We said this when we went to an arcade club the other day. We were playing Virtua Striker.
We were.
And like FIFA and Pro Evo and that now are brilliant. Mm. But football games were shit for forever.
Oh, yeah.
And like all the one in the arcade would always be like, it'd be themed around the latest World Cup or whatever. And you basically, the only one way to score was to run down the ring, cross the ball in, hope you scored a header. That's it, job done. Mm. Second or third game you'd have would always be too hard to win. That'd be it, game over. And Virtua Striker was when it started getting kind of good. And I started thinking, this just popped into my head. I remember having a beach volleyball game and you'd go around the world playing beach volleyball, which is acceptable. Mm. But it really, one of the places you go and play would be in Kenya. And you know on Street Fighter 2 when it'd go Japan or wherever you're going to, right? This, it would go Kenya. And then the game would come into this place in Kenya where you're doing the beach volleyball. And the commentator would go, "Welcome to Nairobi," which would just, it's just wrong.
It's just so incorrect.
Yeah, this is where my brain is going to go off at weird tangents. Yeah. But for some reason, it made me think of
because like football games and wrestling games got good around about the same time. For in my memory, like WWF Attitude,
it was the N64. It was the N64 for me.
Yeah,
because I had J League, which was Winning 11.
Yes, which is now which Pro Evolution Soccer.
So I had that on the N64. Although on the Super Nintendo, International Superstar Soccer, which was the precursor to it, was not very good.
And then like No Mercy, WrestleMania 2000 came in, and
WCW NWO Revenge.
I see. It's funny because I still love World Cup '98, the FIFA game. In my head, that was like when it just blew me away with all the kits and stuff. Not to be confused with FIFA '98, which was also good.
Well, there was one called I think Premier League Stars that was based around the FIFA engine. It was on the PlayStation 1. And it had all the grounds and all the kits in. Now, Leicester were in the Premier League at the time, so this is the only football game that they've had Filbert Street in, which was a terrible stadium.
Yeah.
No matter how much I love it and own stuff from it or whatever, it was a shithole. But it was our shithole.
That's correct, as we found out on Twitter the other day when I asked everyone's worst away day. And it sent me into madness.
I'm glad I was at home there.
Yeah, yeah. Right, okay.
Yeah, yours.
So, Santiago Strikers.
Santiago Strikers.
Okay.
Although, also, there's the other bit. They probably don't speak a lot of English.
No.
So, you put them two boys together.
Yeah.
Obviously, their actions together do the talking.
Yeah, yeah.
Not having to do promos.
And that's why you'd have your manager, who you're going to reveal later, do the talking. All right, so my tag team. I've got a tag team name already. So, they are the Lovable Liverbirds.
Okay.
And it is this team of Stig Ingbjornaby.
Nice.
And Jan Mobley. Okay.
Yeah.
Let me set a scene for you. The group's odd couple, of course. Sporting curly locks and mustaches to rival Tom Selleck, this quick and charismatic duo claim to hail from Liverpool, England, despite speaking in Scandinavian accents, leading to some grappling fans to question the legitimacy of their origins.
Jan Mobley definitely had that going on because he was one of my favourite players as a kid.
This is just purely to pop you. Dave Meltzer went on record this month to say that Jan and Stig's dialect is textbook Scouse, as he's had it verified by a resident of the English city and regular Observer contributor, B. Grobbler. D- Despite the rumours surrounding the pair, fans will tell you that it is a matter of fact that they are one of the best teams in the business, with many a foe being laid to waste with their devastating overlap double team.
Nice. Nice.
Hello, the Oscars. Yes, this is the level of character development writing that I can do. Yes.
You're hired.
So that was my tag team. See, I gave them a gimmick.
Yep.
There, you know, and I tied it into football.
I like it.
Yeah. Yeah, Mobley has still got...
Is it Mobley or Mulby?
Mulby. Oh, it's Mulby, isn't it? Yeah. I just got it wrong.
Not Jan Mowgli.
No. Jungle Book. Yeah, Jungle Book. his accent rivals that of Peter Schmeichel's weird Danish Mancunian...
Well, his son's accent's brilliant.
Yeah, it's
his son's just English.
Yeah, well, and Solskjaer's got it a little bit. It creeps in every now and again where he'll be again quite Scandinavian, but then incredibly Mancunian.
Do you remember when was it Steve McLaren went and managed in the Netherlands?
Yeah, well, I
or Joey Barton in France.
I was
France.
Just about to say this. I was blogging about French football at the time, and we used to. It was because it was a season when Barton and Beckham were in Ligue 1, and because they were at Marseille and PSG, and I never used to really watch the press conferences, but we used to get sent the press conference links, and I actually watched that press conference live, and I've never laughed harder than Joey Barton being like, "You could say it was like,
it's just
bizarre."
He's the sort of person who goes into a restaurant. And when he orders a bottle of wine, puts on the Frenchest French accent to order the wine. As if to go, I'm better than you. I understand wine.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not better than me. You drink wine.
Monstew Rodders? Monstew. which is delightful, Monstew, in a Thai green curry.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. For you vegetarian/vegans out there. All right. Next member of our group is, of course, the Arne Anderson role. It's his spot. It is that of the enforcer.
All right, my enforcer, 6 foot tall.
Oh, aye.
Built like a tank.
Yeah.
Could do 100 metres in 10 seconds.
Woof.
Played for Southampton.
Okay.
And the Netherlands.
Okay.
It's not Ken Moncal. It's Ulrich Van Hobbel.
Wow.
Now, I reckon the best type of enforcer needs to be someone who isn't just, you know, built powerfully like I've just pointed out there, but also has the air of criminality about them. That means that you're never quite sure, you know, how far he's going to go when enforcing his rules.
The air of criminality.
This is something I found this out. I think I used this the first time I ever did fighting talk, right? And this is, it's one of the best facts I've ever found out. So Ulrich Van Hobbel, when he retired, he's now the under-19 manager at Feyenoord or something, right? Mm. When he retired, he went to prison, right? Now, this is, he didn't just go, I'm retired, now prison. This is what he went to prison for. He rented a load of cars. Right?
Okay.
Regular lease cars, just rented these lease cars. He then put them on a boat, sent them back to Suriname, which is where he was originally born.
Yeah, yeah.
And sold them. And then fucked off to Suriname. Right? So he was on the run for about 4 years. And then eventually he came back and went, all right, and he went to prison for 4 months, right? But yeah.
And he's now a youth coach of Feyenoord.
I presume quite a lot of his talks to young talent is, well, don't make the mistakes I made, lads. What do you mean? Well, probably don't go to Hertz. Like, it's just... I remember reading that and going, because I remember Van Hobbel, like, he came to Southampton, and I think he was maybe Ken Moncal's replacement, and Ken Moncal was really well thought.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But not very exciting. And then Ulrich Van Hobbel, who was, like, fucking, like, mad.
Yeah.
Properly, but really, like, a proper tank. I remember looking at him and thinking, he doesn't look like a footballer. So now, footballers all look like athletes. They all look like like they could do MMA or be a professional wrestler or be a boxer or whatever. Because all of them look like what I call the Stormzy body.
Yeah.
Stormzy's one of the hardest looking people I've ever seen.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And could instantly, if you found out Stormzy was a professional footballer, you'd go, yep. To see that.
Yeah.
If you found out Stormzy was making his debut in UFC, you'd be like, yep.
Yep.
If Stormzy was appearing at WrestleMania, yep. Yep. All of those things, you'd be like, yeah, because he's in great shape, right? Yep. And footballers all look like that now because they have nutritionists.
Yeah.
And, you know, they all lift weights.
Yeah.
And they go to the gym and they don't just kick a football around.
Drink pints and eat chips.
The 1990s, it was starting to turn, but there were still just footballers who were just fat blokes.
Well, it's that thing of like when Wenger joined Arsenal and all the things that he brought in. And though it's always talked about in this like mystique way, but it was literally stop fucking going to the pub and getting shit-faced the night before a match and probably eat some vegetables.
Yeah.
And that was considered continental.
So I remember seeing Van Hobbelen thinking, look, he's terrifying. He's like a rhino. And was dead quick. Turns out, shit at football. I mean, that was quite crucial. Not very good at football.
But, you know, he was in a Southampton team that had Fat Letizia, so...
But he was... I remember hearing his name, because it was a funny name, and then reading up on it. And I'll tell you where I read up on it. When I used to be a radio presenter, I used to work for BBC Leicester, and I sit in the studio, and whilst you're your own producer or whatever, there's not a lot to do. You play a couple of records, and you talk for a few minutes, and you maybe interview a guest or do a phone call or whatever. But it's pretty easy. And what I do during the records is I just go on Wikipedia and read shit, which is why my brain is full of nonsense.
Okay, this explains a lot, yes.
And I remember going through like World Cup squads and just clicking on people and going, oh, what happened to them? And Ulrich Van Hobbel, I clicked on that and went, oh, no, where he's got, oh, what? He did what?
Do you remember when like professional wrestlers used to be, like, especially in like the NWA territories, would be like on used cars, like salesman packages? He'd be perfect for that.
Yeah. I'm trying to think what his gimmick would be. I mean, I'm trying to think of a pun based on the fact that he leased a load of cars and didn't return them.
And hobble. He could work their leg quite a lot.
Yeah, he would work the leg.
Yeah, solid. And hobble.
But yeah, it's one of my favourite footballing facts. And he was a beast. So, Ulrich Van Hobbel means awesome.
The icon of the football world who is... He calls it convict music because he was charged with Grand Theft Auto, I believe.
Nice.
In his home country that has eluded me. I want to say it's Senegal, but I don't know if it is.
I think it's Senegal based on the flag in one of his videos. I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, have a look.
Let's make sure we get this correct.
I don't want to be called out for...
I've literally never thought of Akon. Also, can I just point out that Ulrich Van, the picture of Ulrich Van Hobbel, look at him.
What a lovely man.
Lovely smile.
That is... okay. While you're looking that up, so next we've got...
Senegalese.
Yeah, good. There you go. Hey, good. I know my rap. So we've got the Enforcer next, which will be mine, and then we've got the Loose Cannon, and then we will finally have our manager.
My manager in my head now.
And we'll decide who would win in a War Games match between these two factions. Okay, my Enforcer is probably going to pop you.
All right.
My Enforcer is the sweeper, Franco Baresi.
Nice.
Okay, this is Baresi's fucking blurb. The quiet and calm presence of the group. Some see him as the true leader of the collective, quietly organising his team and leading by example when the bell goes. Growing up in the mean streets of Milan, I don't know why that made me laugh, he spent years perfecting his finishing move, the offside trap, which has caught out world-class opposition on more than one occasion. That's a reference. NWA loyalists often debate whether Franco would be world champion if Ginola didn't hold the gold. For now, Baresi is more than content with his Scudetto, his nickname for the TV title. Do you know what Scudetto means in Italian?
No.
Little shield.
Oh, does it? Because it is a little shield on your shirt.
It is a little shield. There you go.
Remember a Parma shirt.
Franco Baresi as my enforcer. The sweeper. Years before the cleaner, we had the sweeper. And also still the topic of the funniest thing you've ever said on a progress show that no one laughed at.
I can't remember what did I say.
It was the same show, because we spoke about this in public before.
Spoke a lot of fucking nonsense.
It was the same show that you did the Ligero gag of recently I've been... Introducing people in their native...
Which is my favourite gag I ever did.
Which, in their native tongues, and therefore I'll be continuing the tradition here today while introducing Allegaro. Introducing first and doing it in English. Yes. It was on that same show, and someone was cleaning the ring, and you went, oh, look at that. They've got the sweeping ability of Franco Baresi, and it fucking popped me, because about, I think me and one other person in the room laughed, and I was like...
I think if I remember correctly, you did that thing, which is quite beautiful, where... Because quite a lot of the stuff I used to say in the ring was often for the benefit of you or Glenn.
Yes.
Or if I had a mate in, that mate.
Yeah.
Right? Not that you guys aren't my mates, but if I had a different mate.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Sure. But when I said that, I was... First of all, I think I remember just hearing you go, ha! Yeah. Which is the best type of laugh for me. Yeah. No one else laughing. One person going, ha! Great. But then when I was saying it, because I'm like... I have a stutter, so I have to think about what I'm going to say before it comes out a long way. So I'm always planning what I'm saying, which is why I look better at being improvised than I am. It's better planned, but I just... Otherwise, I'd stammer at my words.
Mm.
And when I was about to say it, I was like, the biggest problem in my brain was, do I choose Franco Baresi or Matthias Sammer?
And you made the right choice.
I did make the right choice. It was a better choice. It was. I feel a more obvious choice. But
what an elegant...
But Matthias Sammer won European Footballer of the Year.
Yeah.
Playing sweeper.
Yeah, but what an elegant yet violent man.
Oh, yeah.
Like, again, it's that thing of any man that has to bring the ball out of defence and switch it to the opposite flank, but also kill the person before they bear down on goal.
I also... The thing I like about Franco Baresi, if you look at a picture of him, is that he, if he turned up for a casual day,
yeah,
he would definitely be wearing slacks.
Yes,
and there would be Simon Cowell height, yes, waist height.
Yes,
do you know what I mean?
All not business
just underneath the nipple.
Yeah,
he's the sort of person that always wears a collared shirt.
Yeah,
like he doesn't own a
T-shirt. Also has better hair now than he ever did when he was playing. Sort of that Antonio Conte vibe about him. Yeah. I'm not saying that he had hair plugs, but you'd believe it.
Yeah.
Because he's clearly a man of class and dignity, but would beat you up at the same time.
Yeah.
He's my enforcer. All right, cool. We've got one last member of the group as a wrestler. So this is now our loose cannon.
Yeah.
This is the one where I'm worried that we might have the same one, but I don't know. I don't know. You're a little bit...
I don't know. Yeah, let me go. I'll tell you mine.
You go, your loose cannon.
My loose cannon is Brazilian.
Oh, no. No. It is. Mine is South American, but not Brazilian.
My loose cannon is Edmundo. Right? We mentioned Winning 11 before. I remember buying a Japanese...
I never thought, while I took over this podcast, that we'd ever... Edmundo on... Okay.
Or as the commentary used to say on Winning 11 on the Nintendo 64, it used to say, Edgimundo, which is not his name.
Worst commentator thing, also on a Pro Evo, was... it might have been... who is it? Did Peter Jury or Clive Tilsey used to do Pro Evo? Or was it Martin Tyler? It's probably one of the... They used to... One year, they would always call him Toti and not Totti. And it fucking infuriated me.
So... in one of the recent versions of FIFA, Leicester's league winning side had a player called Johan Beneloan, who's a Tunisian defender, who's now at Forest, I think. I mean, perfectly good player, just couldn't get in our team.
Mm.
And it's either a year or two ago, the commentary on FIFA, the guy cannot say his name. So he just goes, Beneloan. Honestly, go back and play it and confirm my
voice. Okay.
Anyway, so Edmundo.
Yes, right? Edmundo.
I love a player who ends up in the J League. Right,
you do,
because I love the J League.
J League is fantastic, wild as.
So Edmundo, one of Brazil's finest ever strikers, didn't play a lot outside Brazil. That's unusual, I hear you say. Yeah, because he was fucking mental. That's why he was a fucking liability.
Okay.
Should not have been trusted to play outside of Brazil ever.
Yeah.
So a few little greatest hits from his career: 39 caps for Brazil, 10 goals for Brazil, a World Cup winner for Brazil in 1994.
Yep.
Sacked by Palmeiras when he was their best player for punching teammate. Quality.
Brilliant.
Loose cannon.
Loose cannon.
Sacked by Vasco da Gama in his second stint there for leaving the dressing room before a kickoff and just buggering off.
Loose cannon.
When he was playing for Fiorentina and in a great Fiorentina team where he played up front with Gabriel Batistuta, and they were very, very close to winning the league.
Yeah.
Halfway through a season, he fucked off without any permission to go to the Rio Carnival.
Oh, that's peak Brazilian footballer, that. like Ronaldinho had it in a contract, didn't he, that he could go to a carnival when he went back to, is it Flamengo?
Neymar has it for his sister's birthday as well in his contract.
I mean, he's always conveniently injured on his birthday.
Yeah. Like, he left Fiorentina. He missed a couple of games because he got suspended. And they came second.
That was when they had the Nintendo kit as well, like the belting kit, wasn't it? Yeah, I remember this. Because Batistuta would have left not long after to go to Roma and when they
would have won the league.
They bought the league.
Probably, Edmundo's thing probably wasn't the reason they didn't win the league.
Yeah.
Batistuta got injured for the last three years.
Yeah, yeah.
In 1999,
yes,
he hired a circus to perform for his son in his back garden. He got a chimp called Pedrinho drunk on whiskey. And also, and this is a serious point, I'm not like, he also, and this is like, if you look up the bad shit that Ed Mundo did,
yeah,
the circus incident, as it's called,
yes,
gets maybe 90% of the coverage.
Fair.
Another 5% of the coverage is the punching of teammates.
Again, fair, yeah.
Another 4% of coverage is the just fucking off a hot dressing room.
Yeah, yeah.
1% of the coverage is the fact that he killed 3 people and drink driving.
Oh my God.
Right, like, and what? Like,
did he serve time for that?
He was found guilty, but he didn't serve time for it. What? So, but he one of the reasons he came to Europe was to try and escape that charge. Because that was in 94, I want to say. So, like, his nickname was The Animal. Unsurprisingly, because also he played drums for the Muppets.
Yeah.
But
wow.
Yeah, Edmund, I didn't know the thing about the drink drum until today, but Edmundo is, like, I remember him, and he scored goals wherever he went. He scored like 300 goals in his career. It was a toss-up between choosing him or Romario.
Yeah.
But Romario, like, was mental and then calmed down.
Yeah, yeah.
And then was consistent until he was 40.
Yeah.
Whereas Edmundo, who's now a TV pundit in Brazil, and fuck knows how that's going to go. You know what I mean? He's like, he's, but one of the loosest of loose cannons he is. You can choose.
Before I give you mine, honourable shout out to Patrice Loco.
I remember him, former Nantes.
Also played for PSG. He played in a Cup Winners' Cup final against, I want to say, Celtic. And that's when I discovered him. And they were talking about him then as being like this wild man, this loose cannon and stuff like that. Later would go on.
And his name was Loco.
I know.
It's perfect.
That's why it stuck with me. I was like, oh, that's just, it just writes itself. The only PSG player that I have ever liked. Ever.
If I had a second opportunity for a choice here, it would have been Marco Bugas. Scored loads of goals in the Netherlands.
Yeah.
Signed for West Ham for their record signing at the time. Yeah. Before they bought, I think they also broke the record with Florin Radicchio as well. Went mad, lived in a caravan, had to retire.
Brilliant.
Loose cannon.
Loose cannon. Anyway. Right, my loose cannon, I have dubbed El Loco.
Okay. Is it Patrice Loco?
It is not.
Okay.
It's Faustino Asprilla.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's a fucking wild one. Right, this is my blurb slash bio.
If you don't bring the porn up in this, I'm going to be really sad.
No, there's no porn. Okay. But the final sentence slash line I wrote specifically for you.
Okay, cool.
So, Asprilla. Okay. Unpredictable but unquestionably talented, his love of a lavish lifestyle surpasses even that of David Ginola's. His initial inclusion in the group was somewhat of a surprise, but rumours say that Asprilla and Ginola bonded on a European excursion to Newcastle before both entering the ranks of the NWA.
Nice.
There's no doubt in El Loco's talent, but his temperament has been questioned in recent times by the business first Baresi. See, sowing the seeds, telling stories.
The
explosive Colombian continues to wow crowds up and down the country, though, especially when executing his signature move, the space flying tiger drop.
Nice.
Because that is obviously in reference to his outlandish celebration.
Remember when that was like a really big deal when someone did a bit of a flip when they
The one that always sticks out.
Vigri was the one I always just remember doing.
The Lualawa, when Lualawa injured himself doing the celebration and then was then banned from ever doing that celebration.
I think the reason that Peter Vigri always used to stick out doing it for me was the fact that this was a man from Lancashire with a moustache doing it.
Yes, which
to me feels much more impressive than you know, someone from Colombia.
So the thing with Asprilla is that there's,
do you know the story about his first game?
Yes, because I can't remember who did it, but someone did a podcast on Asprilla. I want to say it's potentially TIFO Football, and it's the wildest thing because it was obviously he came through Colombian football during the Escobar Narcos ball era of Colombian football when all of a sudden Colombian teams got really good, and I'm not suggesting for one second that I might have had anything to do with what they call the Cali cartel and all the Narcos wars and stuff like that. But weirdly, They did get very good at football during that time.
One of the 90s football Twitter accounts that I follow tweeted the assist on his debut. So he got an assist on his debut for Newcastle at the Riverside against Middlesbrough. He had a glass of wine on the bus up because he didn't think he was playing. And then he came on as a substitute, did roughly 9,000 step overs and set up Alan Shearer. And the best bit is, you don't see this as much now, is that it's such a good assist that people just flood to him.
Yes.
Like no one, Shearer doesn't bother celebrating. It's just like, no, it was him. That little lad did that.
Yeah.
And then he's done, he's look up what Esprit has done since he's quit. He rides a horse a lot.
Of course he does.
Yeah. He's got his own, I think he's got his own ranch. He rides a horse a lot.
Yeah.
He's still completely barking.
Yeah.
I'm certain accidentally starred in some pornography.
Yeah, there is some story that does involve. He's either an extra in it or he unwillingly was in pornography. He's just the most fascinating man. And as a child in the 90s, and like that Newcastle team of the 90s all the way through was...
Well, Asprea, Ginola,
yeah.
Carol G's. It was brilliant.
Yeah, it just felt dangerous. Like there was like an element. And of course they had the Newcastle Brown Ale sponsor.
And they had the pink and purple kit, which was great.
They did. And they had Les Ferdinand with 50p head up front. It was great. It was just, what an era of football and madmen. Mad men in football. Right, so we've got our managers left.
Right, my manager.
Okay, who's going to hold this rabble together?
There's only one person who can hold this disparate rabble together. Because what you need in this situation, like the Horsemen had JJ Dillon.
They did.
Who was arguably as mad as the rest of them.
Yes.
As violent as the rest of them.
Yes.
Bobby Heenan, one of the greatest managers of all time.
Yeah.
Also a fantastic wrestler. Took unbelievable amounts of beatings during his career.
Yeah.
So what we need is someone who is even more insane than the five Mavericks I put together.
Okay.
And that is a man who, from 1993, was out of a job, and that is Brian Clough.
Fucking hell.
Brian Clough, red wine in hand, corralling these lads together. And also, let's be honest, he's not afraid to mix it up. Ask that QPR fan he punched in the head when he went on the pitch.
Yeah.
Right. He'd be there, stood by the side of the ring, green jumper, blue joggers.
Yeah.
Always there, ready to kick off when he needed it, right? He could start every promo he does with, young man. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Fucking brilliant. He'd probably have to have Peter Taylor with him as well.
Oh, but if he's manager, you need to call your group the Damned United.
Maybe.
Okay. So Glove is your manager. That's Glove's actually amazing. I can think of that.
Bearing in mind, right, I am a Leicester supporter.
Yeah.
I hate Nottingham
Forest. Yeah.
I also hate Derby County. He's managed both of them.
Yeah. I mean, as a human being, you hate Leeds United. He's managed them as well.
Yeah.
So.
But I remember being a kid and thinking, one of the main reasons we'd never be better than Forest was because of Brian Clough.
Yeah.
So.
What a maverick.
Mm.
Okay, my manager is... It might be a surprising choice.
All right.
Okay, so my manager is Arsene Wenger.
This is a surprising choice.
Okay, let me paint, set the scene.
Right,
paint the picture for you.
All right.
Okay, yeah. Originally brought into the territory as Ginola's translator.
Nice.
The gaunt and somewhat haunting Frenchman is now a constant presence on the sidelines of all the group's matches. Wenger has been praised for his nutrition advice, which has kept his faction in tip-top shape, as well as being referred to as the master tactician by the faction's members. Though the NWA fans would undoubtedly add that he certainly has no problem with his wrestlers pushing the rules to the limit and beyond. Now, this is my favourite bit of this, and I'm very happy. I wrote this. At TV tapings, the crowd have taken to wearing and waving spectacles at Arsene, given his bad habit of missing key, often less than moral, moments in matches.
Nice. I mean, it feels like we've come full circle. So when we did TakeOver in Blackpool,
yeah,
and the crowd chanted VAR,
yeah,
I was in a strange position of having to explain to my bosses. they were going, well, one of my main jobs when in Gorilla during NXT tapings,
yeah,
is my boss is going, what are they chanting? And me just listening for a second and telling them.
Mm.
And nearly all the time I can get what it is. But I was like, they're chanting VAR. So they're like, what does that mean? I was like, explain the VAR thing to them. And they were like, oh, okay. It's quite funny then. I'm like, yeah, of course chants are funny. It's British wrestling fans.
Yeah.
But it feels like you've come full circle with that there.
Yeah.
You know, fans mocking someone for not being able to watch, and now fans will go the other way and say, you know, actually, there should never be any cheating ever again because this is being filmed and surely you can watch it.
Because he's offside by a fringe.
Took a lot of the joy out of it, innit? Although I will admit, I will cheerfully admit to Leicester being third in the Premier League thanks to VAR.
Look, I'd like to point out, as and this is going to come across as very hipster, as someone that often watches, for instance, the Bundesliga, even Serie A, or even, well, maybe not Ligue 1 because the officiating in Ligue 1 is appalling and always has been. The Bundesliga have actually got VAR down to a T. Because shockingly, the Germans are very efficient. And absolutely no nonsense about this thing. And if they can't make a decision within 30 seconds to a minute, they're like, fuck it, I'm in charge. Whereas in England, we've now got to listen to Jonathan Pearce react like a member of his family's just died because someone's been ruled offside.
I think it takes a lot of the joy out of it. So, like, when.
Could you imagine, though, if like wrestling commentary was similar to football commentary in that. That I would just lose my mind and continuously moan because someone won with a low blow and a roll up.
Yeah.
Okay, good. All right, cool. Well, well, I'm going to bring it in.
So, like when Leicester beat Everton this season.
Yeah.
And Iheanacho Acho scored 6 minutes into injury time in a game that we did not deserve to get anything out of.
Yeah.
And we won 2-1. But he scored. And kind of, the linesman kind of had his flag up.
So yeah, like, I guess, yeah.
Can I celebrate? But I don't know. And then there was 2 minutes of us just sitting there going, well, I mean, come on. I'm, you know, when we play Wolves tomorrow night, I desperately hope there's lots of VAR.
My only trade-off I want is obviously that they've clamped down on celebrations and taking your shirt off and stuff like that. I will allow VAR to take 2 minutes if football teams are allowed elaborate former NFL celebrations. You know, when like, you know, they would get a mobile phone out and stuff and do mad shit for like 2 minutes to keep us entertained.
Yeah.
So when they're making a decision, I want like a full dance routine or...
And then the goal gets disallowed.
Yeah, because that'd be even funnier.
Like absolute plank.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I'm down with that. But that's... There's nothing better. My favourite things about away games... Whole home stadium goes nuts thinking their team scored and they don't see a linesman's
flag. Yeah.
Like, that is, oh, it's beautiful. Joy of that.
It's the equivalent of
And it's the only place you make this noise. Ah!
I was going to say, it's the equivalent of someone dropping any form of cutlery in a restaurant or a public place, and British people go, yeah! Because we are the worst. All right, okay, so, refresher, my group is called The Formation. My star is Le Playboy, Savage Ginola. My tag team is The Lovable Liver Birds, Stinging Bjornaby, and Jan Molby. And then my enforcer is The Sweeper, Franco Baresi. My loose cannon is El Loco, Tino Asprilla. And my manager holding it all together, for the most part, is Arsene Wenger.
So my team is... the star is Lothar Matthäus. The enforcer is Ulrich Van Hobbel.
You've got a horrible faction.
Yep. The loose cannon is Edmundo. And the tag team is Ivan Zamorano and Marcelo Salas, the Santiago Strikers. Managed in a blunt, no-nonsense, lump it up to the big lad up front way by Brian Clough.
Amazing.
I think the Damned United is a better name, so okay. I'm going with that.
All right, cool. So this is where we pass it over to you, lovely lot. So let us know who would win in a War Games match between our two factions. If you want to give me a whole description of the match, you know, if you want to give it star ratings, do it. Let us know who will win in our faction warfare. And also, I'm going to open up the opportunity for you guys to submit your five people faction. So I need a star, I need an enforcer, I need a loose cannon, and I need a tag team. Bonus four managers. If you're not a football fan and you've made it this far, you deserve a bloody medal. Or if you don't know...
Matt will be handing medals out.
Yes.
Outside his house.
Or if you don't want to choose 90s footballers... You can pick prominent 90s famous / stars of the 90s. So they could be singers, they could be children's entertainers, probably not that, or anything else.
What else was popular in the 90s? I don't know, snooker, something of the ilk. Just let me know who your five people faction is. I'm looking forward to listening to that. Nice one for coming on to your old podcast.
Cheers. Thanks for not setting it on fire.
Not yet.
Still time.
Yes, so I have got an episode coming up again next week. Hopefully we're going to get some more guests on. Hopefully we're going to do some more like long-term projects, a la the best matches series thing that I did. And also I'm still toying with the idea of doing like a monthly, maybe two monthly Q&A thing, because people actually really liked that episode, which I was actually
loads of them. They always get loads of interest,
Which I'm really shocked, because my opinion is worth nothing. It's worth less than the pound in Europe. Current reference. All right, that's it. We're going to go off and go and play FIFA. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next week on Tuesday night. Jaw.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.